How do you find love during a global pandemic? For couples quarantining at home, you didn't have to find love, but you might have had to find a way to get along well enough to preserve past the state's lockdown orders. For the single crowd, however, mingling at bars and meet-cutes became a thing of the past as COVID-19 sent everyone home and everyone weary of contact with strangers. Jenny Hogan is a writer and stand-up comic based in Los Angeles. She recently wrote about this topic of dating during a pandemic for The Atlantic. It's titled, I Took the Risk of Dating During the Pandemic, and it paid off. She joins us now to talk about her story. Jenny, welcome to Culture Shifts.
Hi, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
I really loved this story that you wrote for The Atlantic. It touched my heart for sure. And I think it's something that's going to resonate with people out there listening right now. And I do want to let people know our phone lines are open. I want to hear about your own experiences of dating during a pandemic. 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. Have you tried your hand at dating during the pandemic? And what's that experience been like for you? Have you met someone special or are you still looking? What have been your frustrations? What have been the pleasant surprises? As always, that number to call is 313-577-1019. Now, Jenny, let's set the stage of what was going on in your life back in May and what made you want to date during a pandemic at all. Kind of set the scene for us.
Sure, yeah. So I had been quarantining alone in Los Angeles since March, and I'm new to Los Angeles, and my little sister was living there, but she was the only person I was seeing regularly in person. So it was definitely like a particularly isolated time, and I had sort of appreciated that I got a break from dating for a little bit because I had had kind of like one bad experience after another. But I think sort of, you know, they predicted the lockdown would be 3 weeks and then 2 months and then 4 months. And by May, it seemed like it could go on through the end of 2020, although now that feels kind of rosy. But at a certain point, I just realized that, like, it didn't really make sense to wait until the end of lockdown when the target kept moving. So I decided I would start dating.
Yeah, you made that move of saying, I don't know if this is going to end anytime soon. And you reached a point where you just got to kind of reach out to somebody. So what app did you decide to use to start dating? Because you can't just necessarily meet people randomly in public anymore.
Right, yeah. So I mostly use Hinge. I only really use Hinge and Bumble. And I had friends who were on the app during my quarantine who were saying that it was actually like a really good time to be on dating apps because people were really responsive. And they were like FaceTiming with people and that made them feel kind of a lot less isolated. I personally find dating to be almost like an isolating experience. Like unless it's someone good, it feels like it takes away more than it adds. So I wasn't that excited to get into like FaceTime dating, but I started using Hinge. And yeah, there were definitely like a lot of nice people on it, and the guys were a lot more responsive for sure.
You actually wrote about that in your story. You said, while the pandemic couldn't change the quality of men on the app, it did make the conversations easier. So what exactly did you mean by that?
Yeah, so there was just, for one thing, people were, like, being responsive. I feel like in regular life or in the before times, it's kind of hard to, even just pinning down an evening. Like, I just did comedy, so most of my evenings are busy, and I'm, like, a freelancer. Sometimes I want to meet during the day, and I just feel like it's, even just, like, the scheduling is so hard that it can feel fruitless to start talking to someone because you don't know if you're ever going to meet up with them. Whereas during the pandemic, everyone's schedules were wide open. People were, like, very much on their phone, seeking any kind of connectivity. So it was just, and then like on top of that, there was kind of just like a huge shared experience for us to discuss. I feel like normally I'm kind of trying to like play this game of asking them questions that I think will be relatable to their lives without being too generic or something, but we were all basically only thinking about the pandemic. So it was a lot easier to have that kind of in common to discuss.
And Jenny, your connection's going in and out a little bit, so just make sure you're in a good area as we're talking to you out of L.A. right now. And I just want to reach out to anybody that's listening. Have you tried your hand at global pandemic dating? 313-577-1019, 313-577-1019. Really curious to hear what people's experiences have been like or your apprehension from even giving it a go? Have you been on a socially distanced date? What did that look like? Share your experiences with us right now on at 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. Now, Jenny, you talked about that aspect of socially distanced dating kind of being a pleasant one because the playing ground is level. You've got this massive shared experience that's happening, so there's something to talk about. And instead of an awkward drinks at the bar, the biggest risk of having to end a global pandemic date is having to get off of a FaceTime session, right? So tell me a little bit about that difference between the physical spaces and the digital ones, because you also found that men were being a little more brazen, a little more blunt at times too, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I had one guy who tried to like flash his dick on FaceTime, and it's interesting because like on the one hand, it's so gross and I hated it. But on the other hand, it's like, that's the kind of behavior that it might take you a while to realize if you're dating someone in person. So I was sort of grateful to have it out right away, basically. I feel like it was just like, it just was so quick. I was able to hang up the call. And I just didn't have to deal with it anymore. Whereas, like, sometimes you're on a date with someone who maybe you're not, they seem like they might not be, like, the nicest person, but you're not positive. And then, you give it a few more dates and then you realize that they're not very respectful or something. Whereas I feel like the way that people were so brazen on FaceTime was kind of a blessing. And then the other thing is it just saves you so much time. Like, you don't have to, I live in Los Angeles without a car. I feel like going on dates is expensive, taking Ubers and everything. And, like, once you've met up with someone in person, you feel like you owe them. I mean, at least I feel like I'll owe them like at least like an hour of my time. But the FaceTime just felt like it was so much more efficient.
We're talking to Jenny Hogan. She's a stand-up comic and writer based out of Los Angeles. She recently wrote about this topic of dating during a pandemic for The Atlantic, a really, really great story called "I Took the Risk of Dating During the Pandemic. It Paid Off." We'll talk about that payoff in just a moment here, but I do want to get your calls involved too. 313-577-1019. I want to hear about your own experiences of dating right now. Because it might not be easy for everyone, but maybe you've had some success out there. So we'd love to hear your experiences either way. 313-577-1019. And we have a caller in Bloomfield Hills, another Jenny, actually. Welcome to Culture Shift.
Hi.
So what's been your experience during the pandemic of trying
goodness.
To date?
I've been plagued by catfishers. I've been able to start recognizing them on the site because they all live a bit of a distance from where I am, or they're planning to move to a closer area. They all have a child in boarding school somewhere in Europe. They all have elderly mothers. They all are petroleum engineers or some other kind of an engineer. And the grammar on their correspondence is just a little bit off. And they claim their undying love for you within two or three chats, and it's just absolutely ridiculous. And I don't know how the dating sites don't screen better or something. It's just incredible to me.
Jenny, I got to ask you, how quickly can you see through these elaborate stories? Like, is there something that happens where you say, okay, this person just isn't really being honest with me right now?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry you guys.
Hold on, we got two Jennies. Let's go to Jenny in Bloomfield Hills.
No.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, you can tell pretty quickly because I'm trying to think of a really good example. They take their profiles down right away, or they take a couple of pictures down that might identify a location. I had one yesterday who took down a picture in Boston because he claimed he was in Berkeley, Michigan, and a picture that he had on his site was in Boston. So I don't know where the guy is or even if that's the real guy. And they all tend to be extremely nice looking men. And, it's just, I don't know what they get out of it.
And Jenny in Bloomfield Hills, I mean, at this point, are you going to keep trying? I mean, how are you feeling about this experience?
Pretty discouraged, to be honest. I'm widowed. I was widowed a little over a year ago. I'm 60 years old, and I'm a super active person. I did meet somebody that I really, really liked earlier in the pandemic, but I just didn't feel like he would be able to keep up with me long term. He was a little bit older, and I don't know. I am probably going to give it a break for a while, I think.
Well, Jenny in Bloomfield Hills, when you do decide to try again, I really do hope there is some genuine good love out there for you, because you sound like you deserve it. So we'll definitely be thinking of you, and we hope you can find some true love out there soon. And all those catfishers, leave her alone. Now let's go to another caller real quickly. Ryan in Ferndale, you're on Culture Shift.
Hey, love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. So you've got a story about a socially distanced date. Let's hear about this.
Yeah, so I used Bumble to connect with a pretty nice girl, and we decided we're going to meet up in a park and sit on some lawn chairs, 6 feet apart, and have a, conversation. It was great. It was perfect for the pandemic. You didn't have to feel too uncomfortable, open air and things like that. So that was a nice start, but just found it kind of difficult to, take to the next steps. Like, do we hug after the day? It was kind of tough to kind of move on into another step after that.
Jenny, let's take it back to you real quickly. Ryan brings up a really good point, and this is something that you bring up in your story for The Atlantic. You have a great line in your story. You say, is anything casual anymore? And you talk about some of the awkward conversations that have to take place during, dating during a pandemic. Tell me about some of the socially distanced dates you went on and the boyfriend that you eventually met, and how you guys talked about taking it to the next level.
Yeah, totally. Thanks, Ryan. I think it's so difficult because you almost feel like you're taking a risk just to get within 6 feet of someone. So you have to know that you like them, but you've just started dating them, so you really don't have any idea. I think one thing is I probably went on socially distanced dates with three guys, and there were two of them who were nice and I didn't have a bad time, but I didn't feel enough of a spark to think it was worth kind of getting a COVID test and then taking a risk by getting closer to them. And I sort of had this feeling like I would just have to be way more limited in who I was willing to let into my circle. So it really added a lot of pressure. And I did feel like the first time I was not socially distanced with my boyfriend, I felt like, and this was like long before he was my boyfriend, I felt like, I was taking a risk and maybe he would turn out to not be a good fit for me, and then I'd feel stupid for have taken that risk. So it really just adds a lot of pressure, which I think could make dating much more stressful than it already is.
Yeah, there's already so much pressure when it comes to the first couple
exactly.
of dates.
Yeah,
and,
totally.
And I keep describing it as a low-level hum of stress and pressure that everyone is feeling right now. That caller, Ryan in Ferndale, we really appreciate you sharing that story. And also Jenny in Bloomfield Hills, we appreciate it because it's a very personal thing to talk about. And we do still have open lines right now, 313-577-1019. That's 313-577-1019. As we talk about dating during a global pandemic with a writer and stand-up comic based in Los Angeles. Her name is Jenny Hogan. She wrote a great story for The Atlantic called I Took the Risk of Dating During the Pandemic. It paid off. Jenny, you did end up meeting someone. His name is Sam. You talk about him in the story. And that's a successful, happy ending. We did hear from a caller, though, taking that next step can be difficult. Sometimes that can mean sex. And you guys actually agreed to get COVID tests before you did that. How did that conversation even come up?
Yeah, so I was a little bit nervous because I'd been going outside a lot more than him. And it was, I had just been, the activities I had been doing were entirely outside, but I still felt like there would be, I might have a chance of having COVID. And then I was living alone, so I sort of felt like I just had to adjust to having a new person in my life. And then he has people who are sort of in his pod if he sees indoors. And it felt like if I gave him COVID, there were just a lot of people he was going to spread it to, including his parents. So I definitely didn't want to make any moves until we booked on COVID tests. And he was totally amenable to it. And it was honestly much harder to get COVID tests at the time. This was in like late May. Now there are places that you can get them, and at least in Los Angeles, it's like a 10-minute wait and then you get the results the next day. But this was definitely kind of like a logistical challenge. We had to figure out where to go. But it did feel like one nice thing is that I felt like if he wasn't willing to try to get a COVID test, then it just wasn't worth it at all. It's almost like just a matter of seeing if someone has enough of an interest in like going further with you that they're willing to do something that's out of their way.
Yeah, it's almost like a healthy gatekeeping. You sort of have this threshold, you know, is this woman going to be able to do this for me to make sure that we're both safe? It tells you a lot
totally.
About them very quickly. As we wrap up the conversation here, you know, you talk about the risk of dating during COVID-19, and it is really scary, and people do worry, am I going to bring something home and possibly make someone sick? I mean, that'd be a terrible, terrible thing. And that brings me to the question of how people perceived you dating. Was there any sort of social shaming or people having opinions about what you were doing during a global pandemic?
Yeah, so I would say my friends are generally pretty supportive, and I knew a lot of other people who were dating as well. But I did get nervous. I'm very into like Twitter, and I almost felt like nervous sort of tweeting jokes about having a new boyfriend because it would be clear that I had broken social distancing. And I do get comments sometimes about it. And actually, when the Atlantic article came out, there were a lot of comments of people who said that it wasn't responsible social distancing, which is a completely fair point. So my immediate friends, I had one friend who sort of expressed reservations and wanted to know if we were wearing masks and everything, which I felt frustrated by because, like, of course we were wearing masks when we were in public. And I also felt like people who started the pandemic in couples kind of didn't have the same level of, like, judgment as if you, even if it was two people who lived apart but were a couple at the beginning, it wasn't the same as two people who lived apart or became a couple in the middle. So I will say there was like a little bit of judgment, but coming from my friends, they were mostly supportive of it.
Let's get one more call here. We've got Adam calling from Ferndale. You're on Culture Shift.
Hi, how's it going, Ryan?
Doing well. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I was going to say, long-time listener, first-time caller, so this is awesome. But no, I got in my car and heard you guys were talking about dating during COVID, and I've been in two relationships since the start of the pandemic. The first relationship was like 9 months long, and it ended during quarantine due to I live in Ferndale and she was living downriver. And so we weren't able to spend as much time together, and we tried video calling and, you know, talking to each other as much as possible, but as close as we were, it felt like a long distance relationship, and it kind of just fizzled out, and it hit me really hard because I wasn't sure how do you move on? How do you get back into the dating game during the pandemic, and am I going to be able to find somebody? And it was a couple months after that, like right around Father's Day, that I started dating this girl from work, and it was going really well, and I kind of got hit by Cupid's arrow really hard, and I got, you know, the feelings really quickly and more so than she did, and so I think she got nervous or scared and called it quits, and so that was again really hard. But I believe that love will find a way, and you just kind of got to put yourself out there, and it helps with restaurants being open again. You know, it makes going on dates a little easier, I feel like. But I don't know. To all the listeners out there, I just want to say, you know, don't give up hope. Like I said, love will find a way. So you just kind of got to put yourself out there and go for it. You know, don't be afraid. So,
Adam and Ferndale, thank you so much for calling with a good ray of positivity, because I know sometimes it can be frustrating out there. And yeah, Adam talking a little bit about restaurants reopening and bringing a little sense of normalcy back to dating, perhaps, if if both of the daters agree that going to a restaurant is something they feel safe with. Jenny Hogan, before we let you go, is there some kernel of wisdom that you can bestow upon us from your experiences of successfully finding love during a global pandemic?
Yeah, I would definitely say that dating is hard no matter what. So if you find it discouraging, I would encourage you to kind of have the same attitude that you have when you're dating in non-pandemic times. And just remember that, you know, it's not like a reflection of you. And it's just like it's very hard to find someone you like. And if it's, you know, not making you happy, it's also totally fine not to. But yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, everything is so much more difficult now than it used to be, but it doesn't mean that you have to let something like dating get you down, you know. That would be my advice.
A beautiful piece of advice to wrap up our conversation with Jenny Hogan, a writer and stand-up comic based in Los Angeles. She recently wrote about the topic of dating during a pandemic for The Atlantic. It's titled, I Took the Risk of Dating During the Pandemic. It Paid Off. Jenny, thank you so much for calling, and thanks for being our guest today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was so great. Thank you.